So will you join with me in reading together Isaiah 46 to 8? Here we go. A voice says, cry, and I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it, it shall surely the people is grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Today I want to talk to you about a paradox. Now, a paradox is something that can't be true and yet is. A paradox is something that pits two ideas, truths, or realities against each other, and yet both are true. A paradox is something that is so contradictory and opposing in nature that it can't be true, and yet it is true. The paradox today is the human reality of our condition and the divine message of hope because of grace. So the paradox is one of truth and grace. First, the truth. The truth of our human condition. Now, not too long ago, but I can do it every day, I looked in the mirror. Have you looked in the mirror lately? I noticed how much gray hair is part of my sandy locks. And I'm asking myself, when did it happen? Did one day a sandy hair just decide to turn gray? Today I will be gray. Now, I look at it positively, though, because I'd rather be gray than bald. Anyway, what are you going to do? My standard line is, I'm looking good, but I don't know when it happened. When did I go from looking good to just from good looking to looking good? And anyway, gray hair is a sign that the scriptures, all flesh is grass. We're all passing away. Gray hair is a sign of aging. It's a reminder of how transient life really is. Someone has said that we pass from middle age to the metallic age. And that's why we have silver in our hair and gold in our teeth and lead in our cans. The reason for this death process is because of my father and your father. And he is named in the Bible, and his name is Adam. Read with me 1 Corinthians 15, 21 and 22. Here we go. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, and so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Right there, I am told why I have gray hair. My gray hair is because of my father Adam, because it's a sign of the death process that is in all of us. We have read the paradox also right here in this scripture. By one man, sin entered the race. Sin entered the world, and by sin came death. And death comes to all people, even though you may live under that myth that you're not going to be one of those. All of us have the heritage transmitted to us by our father Adam. My gray hair, stiff joints, wrinkled skin, loss of vitality, and a host of other little things are part of that heritage. The inheritance transmitted to me and to you also by our father, Adam. Now, the other side of the paradox is also right here in this scripture. Through receiving Jesus as Savior, we receive life in the midst of death, in the midst of our own death. So in the midst of death, we receive forgiveness for our sin. And the wages of sin is death, so that the power of Jesus' death breaks the bonds of a spiritual genetic code that dominates much of our living. Now, I have a family tree here that I'd like to show to you. Now, this one, you would notice there's not many branches in it. It must be from Kentucky. Anyway. It's a family tree. So when we go to shaking our own family trees, there is a spiritual father up in that tree whose name is Adam. And through Adam, we have received a spiritual genetic code which has death imprinted on it, and it is because of sin that entered the race through the spiritual father. That's us. Those of us who have received Jesus as Savior have another father up in that tree, and when we shake that tree, we can see Him. His name is Jesus. And as Jesus said to Philip, He said, "Have I been with you so long, and yet you do not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father." Why do you say, "Show us the Father"? So in the midst of our family trees is a man named Adam, and there is death in that man, and he has passed that death on to each of us through a spiritual genetic code. If you have received Jesus as Savior, then Jesus has been ingrafted into your family tree. Jesus brings a new genetic code into your family tree. And that new genetic code brings life into your family tree from Father God. Without Jesus in your family tree, you can hope for nothing but death. And that's the truth. A paradox. We are the products of a dual genetic system. We have a physiological one and a spiritual genetic system. All of us have Adam in our family tree. And I hope that all of us we'll have Jesus in our family tree as well. But beyond Adam, there are others in our family trees as well. So let's shake that tree a little bit more. And I'd like for us to read Exodus 34, verses 6 and 7. Here we go. "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.'" Now this scripture took place between Moses and God up on Mount Sinai as Moses was receiving the Ten Commandments from God. Now, what it sounds like is that God is going to whip up on people by beating up on their kids when they sin, and on down through four generations until God's wrath is somehow satisfied. It sounds like God is waiting to retaliate against sin, but that's not what this really means. God is saying that we will do it to ourselves because it is built into the system. And when you go against the order of things, you cause great damage to yourself and to your family. God is saying that because we are a fallen race, because of our father Adam, and because we now have that same tendency to sin, we will deceive ourselves and commit sin. God gave us the law to protect us from our own self-deception. He says, "This law is so that you can have a test to see with. As you battle your own self-deception," and, you know, when we grade our own papers, we always get A's. "But if you choose to ignore the law, then you will receive judgment because it's built into the system." It's built into the order of things. And it's as though God is saying, "I can't help you except to warn you. I didn't make you this way. You became this way because you disobeyed me." And Adam is in our family tree. And if you shake that tree hard enough, you can see him up there hanging on in your tree. The Ten Commandments are not God saying, "I'm looking for a chance to beat up on your kids." The Ten Commandments and all the law of God and the prophets are God's grace given to us that says, "This is the way things work. If you follow them, then you avoid turmoil and trouble in your life." The Ten Commandments, the law of God, and the words of the prophets all say, don't disobey, because if you do, you will not only suffer the penalty of it, but you will introduce that into your family line, your spiritual genetic line of your offspring, more of the same spiritual genetic factor that brings death. Now, that spiritual genetic factor repeats, and it resonates from generation to generation. And they will suffer as you suffer. Now you need to hear the truth. You had better take very seriously how you behave and how you live your life. Because your sinning or your blessing does not just affect your life. Your sin or obedience has implications for your family. The truth is, I am in the family tree of my children. And what I do and what I am has tremendous impact on their lives as well. I know this. The sins of the father are visited upon the children to the third and fourth generation, as it says here in the scripture. There is something of an arrogance in the minds of some of us who think, well, this is my life and I'll do what I want. But you see, it isn't just your life. You are in somebody's family tree. And when you sin, it brings death into that tree. Now, so God warns us. It isn't simply that we influence other people of our generation, but it passes on down, generation upon generation, that are affected by us. This is also true, by the way, of blessing. Blessing also passes down from generation to generation, but the difference is that blessings are quiet. That's why somebody will say, you need to count your blessings. Well, why is that? Because we don't think about them. They're not very loud. But curses are. Sin is. And the principle is established in the Word of God. And it comes to us and it works backwards. Let me ask you, how did your great-great-grandfather think and live? What were the secrets of his life? What, if any, were the points of bondage in his life? This is your great-great-grandfather. Well, the truth is, most, if not all of us, don't know, do we? I never even met my great-grandfather on either side. Now, three of my kids met one of their great-grandfathers on my mother's side, my mother's father. If we look at the biblical truth of this Exodus reading that we just read, every one of us is the product of genetic input of 30 people through four generations. Your parents, four grandparents, eight great-grandparents, and 16 great-great-grandparents. The Bible says that the way they lived, the way they thought, their attitudes toward God, their spiritual experience, their exposure to things of spiritual destruction, their sin, which is a curse, and their blessings are passed on to us. These things are transmitted to us and they resonate in who we are. But by the fourth generation, the effects of my great-great-grandfather kind of bleed out. Now, I saw a program one time about a group of men in their late 20s and how they were coping with life. One man in the story went home for Christmas to see his father. They had a very strained relationship for many years, and the young man wanted to spend Christmas with his father. It was a love-hate relationship with his father. They had a big fight over a Christmas tree. And in the midst of that argument, the father said to his son, "Son, I gave you everything I could. I taught you how to fight, and I taught you how to drink. That's all I know, and I gave it to you." Well, in the story, this young man was presently working as a bartender because he had to retire from prize fighting because of an eye injury. And it was true, the father gave him all he knew. The young man learned how to fight and was a boxer, and when he was no longer possible to do that, he became a bartender because his father had also passed on to him how to drink. His genetic inheritance was fighting and drinking. You look at some of these athletes that are out there today and their children will end up in the same. The Chicago Bears have Howie Long's son playing for them on their front line right now. You know, the kids will sometimes go into the same profession as the father. There are spiritual genetics involved. There's a propensity in terms of attitudes and interests. And so it passes on down the line. The curse of sin is also passed on from generation to generation. Let me propose a hypothetical example. Now, I've dealt with a lot of people, so this is kind of a composite of things, but I could almost give you this. A man filled with rage, alcohol domineering, marries and treats his wife like a slave. Now, use your imagination. He has a son who he beats, who sees his mother beaten and abused. He is cursed by the sin of his father. This is his model, though, for fatherhood and manhood. And he marries and he does the same. But his wife doesn't take it and she leaves. They have had a son, but this son is not exposed to as much. He knows his grandfather, but his grandfather's life doesn't affect him directly, only indirectly. He grows up. He gets married. He still does some of the things that his father did and his grandfather did, but he adds his own understanding of life to it. He has a son. The abuse is still there, but it is different than the original great-grandfather. The sin is perpetuated, but it becomes less and less direct. But it's passed on. Now, we could do the same with blessings as well. Fathers can pass on the blessing of discipline. Mothers, too. I'm talking about parents. You can pass on the blessings of discipline, financial sense, order, right living, profession even. The problem with recognizing blessings, though, is they aren't flashy. We don't think about them. That's why people say, count your blessings. They smooth life instead of tearing it up. And so we don't notice blessings passed on as easily because they're quiet. We pass on both blessing and curse, folks. But God really only warns us about the curse of sin. In other places, God affirms us in righteousness. I do a lot of counseling. One of the things that I'm always looking for is those ancestors hiding in the family tree. Some of those people are the cause of family bondage. I run into it all the time. And I call these bondage points family spirits. Some of you may know what I'm talking about. I also know that when you shake the family tree of people, you make some of those ancestors angry and their spirits rise up against you. I've been to enough great banquets and I've heard enough talks over the years that I know about people's lives in terms of what goes on in terms of past bondage and family curses and things like that. When God reveals the truth to us that the iniquities of the fathers are visited upon the children unto the third and fourth generations, God is giving us a great truth. The truth is that there is a dynamic genetic and spiritual force at work that transcends not only our physical world and makeup, but it is also transcending generations, and it comes down through our family trees. Even as we sit here today, there is present in all of us attitudes, habits, sins, moral practices, moral failures, pride, fears, bondage, family traditions, patterns of conduct that we may even attempt to justify in ourselves, but nonetheless we wish that we could shake free of, that are part of our family trees. And even as we sit here and judge our ancestors, the ones sitting in our family trees, for the sin that they may have committed and the iniquities that they have passed on to us, we are very much, a lot of times, blind to our own sin and the iniquities that we pass on. Is there any way to shake free from this family tree in which our name is carved? Read with me Ezekiel 18:2. Here we go. The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. This is a proverb, and it seems so true, doesn't it? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. In other words, it is because of what the parents did that the kids are the way they are, and therefore not responsible, are they? We find ourselves somehow inescapably locked into a network, a kind of labyrinth or maze that has to do with our family tree. And we become bewildered by the sins of our past generations that are mixed in with our own genetic code, which causes us to repeat sin, even when we don't want to do it. And it becomes a vicious circle of striving and condemnation. And you wonder, is there any hope? Am I lost because of past generations? Because of my parents or grandparents? Am I doomed to repeat the same sin over and over again? And we begin to echo the words of the Apostle Paul when he wrote to the church at Rome. Read with me Romans 7:15 and following. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Isn't that true? Wretched man that I am. And so people ask me, is there any way to break the curse? Is there any way to shake free of this attitude or this sin or this bondage or this fear or this habit or this way of living that comes down through my family tree? Is there any way I can break that? How do I break the curse of sin in my life? Well, as I said, this is a paradox. The truth is, you can't. You're stuck in the labyrinth and the network of your family tree. As long as Adam is up there, along with your parents and Grandpa Bill and Great-Grandma Sarah, you can't break free. Their sin is resonating in your life as well as their blessings, and the iniquities are passed on to you, and you can't break the curse of their sin and your sin, for that matter. The truth is, and this is also part of that paradox, God can break the curse. You can't break the curse, but God can. If you receive Jesus as your Savior, then you receive the grace and the blessing of God, which introduces a new genetic code into your life, and it changes your spiritual genetics. The truth is that the blood of Jesus works in our family tree and brings redemption and brings life and begins to release spiritual life flow that begins to break the curses of our ancestors. The iniquity, the sin of your parents can be broken through redemption in Jesus Christ. Just as Jesus redeems you from your own sin, He can break those curses. We are literally birthed into a new dimension and blessings begin to flow in and through us. And the grace of God in Jesus severs that bondage and those curses in our background and our past. The curse is broken in our lives. In other words, the sins of the Father are broken. Now, what happens when Jesus comes into your life is you have to be like John the Baptist, who said, I must decrease, Jesus must increase. There's a process that begins when Jesus becomes part of your family tree that begins to flush out the curse of sin. We break with the past, you might say. Now, what I'm describing here is a process of salvation and the $25 word sanctification, which is, I must decrease, Jesus must increase. I need to let His spiritual genetics flow in me, letting Jesus become Lord of my life. And in your family tree, all other ancestors begin to shrink in comparison to the spiritual genetics that begin to flow through you as more and more of you reflects Jesus flowing in you. If you choose to live a life with Jesus at the center of your family tree, there is one great truth you have to receive, and you need to hear the words of the prophet. You can no longer hide behind your parents or other ancestors. You can't say that because of my parents, I am this way and therefore excused. You can't say you aren't responsible for your own actions or words. If you have received Jesus as Savior and He's part of your family tree, then that proverb that we read in Ezekiel is no longer true. The fathers have eaten sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. From this day forward, everyone shall die for his own sin. Each man who eats sour grapes, his teeth shall be set on edge. Read with me Ezekiel chapter 18, the verses that I have in here. Here we go. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, says the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sins shall die. If a man is righteous and does what is lawful and right, he is righteous. He shall surely live, says the Lord God. If he begets a son who is a robber, a shedder of blood, that son shall surely die. His blood shall be upon himself. But if this man begets a son who sees all the sins which his father has done, and fears, and does not do likewise, he shall not die for his father's iniquity. He shall surely live. As for his father, he shall die in his iniquity. Now you need to hear that and see what that says. And then one of the things that we do is we repent of our ancestors. Read me the last passage I have here of Ezekiel 18. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions which you have committed against me, and get yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God. So turn and live. Now you might want to put your own name in there where it says, O house of Israel. You know, I might say, get yourself a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, Jack? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, says the Lord God. You know, as Christians, when we shake the family tree, we are redeemed sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father who calls us to live as His children. We have a tendency to be intimidated by such a high calling, but our Heavenly Father tells us to fix our eyes on the one in our family tree that gives us the genetic makeup to be His children, whose name is Jesus. Here's the paradox between the human condition and the heavenly message in our family tree. Too often when we shake our family tree, all we see is our human ancestors. Father God is saying through His Son Jesus that He is our Father and He has sired in us a spiritual genetic capacity that transcends the restrictions of our own spiritual genetics from Adam or from Daddy Bill or from Grandma Jane or whoever's out there. And Father God is saying, you will be holy because I am your Father. It's a matter of spiritual genetics. He calls us to allow the blood of Jesus, the power of His Word, to break that curse of sin in our lives and in our genetic code. But it's up to us to make that decision to receive it. Whether it's a first-time commitment to graft Jesus into our family when we receive Him as Savior, or to draw on the power of His spiritual genetics nature that's in our family tree, that now works in us to break the curses in our lives. There are none of us that need to live haunted by the ghosts of our heritage that inhabit our family trees. Father God calls every one of us to live in the provision of what He has for us in Jesus. When Jesus comes to be part of your family tree, it will shake your tree, and it will begin to shake out some of those ancestral ghosts who have passed iniquity and sin onto you. When it comes to shaking your family tree, just remember, for as by a man came death, by a man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, but so also in Christ Jesus all will be made alive. And that's the good news in the midst of the curses in which we live.